Now, Paul here, beginning with verse 13, he begins the practical side of this epistle, the practicality of the coming of Christ. What does it really mean for us today? Well, in light of the knowledge of future events, the believer should live a life that demonstrates that he believes in the coming of Christ. Believing in the coming of Christ doesn't mean to run out and look up in the sky and say, oh, I wish Jesus would come. That's just pious nonsense. May I say to you, it's going to manifest itself in several different ways. In view of that, believers should be established in the Word of God. And then believers should be established in their walk down here. And then believers should be established in their work, in all three of these. Now, will you notice as we move down here at verse 13? Verse 13 now of 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And I'm going to read verse 14 also. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus. Now, I believe that these two verses here give you the total spectrum of salvation. In other words, they give you salvation from Dan to Beersheba, all the way from the past through the present to the future. You have it all given to you here. Now you have, first of all, you're chosen to salvation. I'd like, by the way, to give you a verse that goes along with this. It's over in the 8th chapter of Romans, and there it's put in a very doctrinal sort of way. It begins by him saying in verse 28, in Romans 8 now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Dr. R.A. Torrey used to say that this verse was a soft pillow for a tired heart, and it surely is. Now, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we begin here with the first statement back in 2 Thessalonians now, verse 13. He says here that you were chosen from the beginning. You were chosen to salvation. Now, that looks back to the past. And all I know is what it says, and I believe it. You mean to tell me that God chose you before you even got here? Well, Spurgeon used to put it like this. He said, I'm glad God chose me before I got here, because if he'd have waited till I got here, he never would have chosen me. Well, that makes sense. It simply means, friends, that you do not surprise God when you trust Christ. But we also need to let you see the other side of the coin. Whosoever will may come. And as another one has put it, the chosen are the whosoever will, and the non-elect are the whosoever wants. That's the way that it is. Whosoever will may come. If any man thirsts, that's a legitimate, that's a sincere, that is a definite offer without any complication to salvation. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And the reason you're not coming is not because you're not elected. The reason is you're not thirsty. You don't think you need a Savior. So, chosen to salvation, that's here. That looks back to the past. Now, sanctification of the Spirit. And we said that when sanctification is used in connection with the Holy Spirit, It's practical. When it's connected with Christ, it is positional. So sanctification of the Spirit here means that He wants you to grow in grace down here. He wants you to grow. And then belief of the truth. That means that you are going to study the Word of God. Belief of the truth. That's the way that you're going to grow. That's the way you're going to develop. And then he goes on here to speak to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this refers to the rapture. Because, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. My, that's a glorious, wonderful statement, is it not? And then we have a statement in Colossians 1:27 that says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that looks to the future so that you have the total spectrum of salvation here. I have been saved. I am being saved. I shall be saved. Now, what is it that enables a believer to grow? It's the Word of God. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And Paul's referring to what, of course, he had taught them over there when he was there. The Word, you see, enables a believer to stand and be stable. The Word brings consolation and comfort. The Word and work are interrelated. The study of the Word will lead to the work of the Lord. Listen to Paul now here, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Now, he's to comfort your hearts. The Word of God will comfort you, and it will edify you. That is the important thing. And if you're edified, it'll bring comfort to you. And establish you means you'll get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You won't be carried away by every wind of doctrine. You won't be going out after every fad today and reading every new book that comes from the press today that plays up something of the moment that people are interested in. And you won't have to be running all the time to these little study courses where you take sort of a course. It's sort of like taking an aspirin tablet or maybe taking Geritol or something like that to sort of build you up, you see, for the moment. We need to be established in the faith. Now, friends, this is very important. You see, the Word of God is therefore that which will lead you to do the work of God. Now we're going to see in chapter 3 that believers can be established in their walk. And the walk is your life before the world. And the believer needs to be established in his work down here. You see, today, it's rather deceitful, and you deceive yourself and others when you talk about how much you love the coming of the Lord and you don't study His Word. And it doesn't manifest itself in your life. And it doesn't make you work. You see, if you really believe Christ is coming, you're really going to be busy. You're going to work for Him because you're going to give an account to Him. And if He's going to be here tomorrow, I want to be busy today. And you won't have your nose pressed against the window looking for Him to come or always looking up into heaven. You're going to be looking around you, doing the work of the Lord down here. That's the greatest proof that you believe in His coming.